You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This episode of On Brand is brought to you by 2020. You know that stock photography look you hate? Like how all the models have those creepy, dead-behind-the-eyes smiles? 2020 lets you buy millions of intimate, authentic, real-world photos. They look like they came from someone's social media account you're jealous of, and they're proven to increase your brand's image. You get 5 photos with 2020's 1-week free trial at 2020.com/onbrand. That's the word 20, then the number 2 and the number 0.com/onbrand to get your first 5 photos free.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Sean Premer. Consumers Credit Union has 300 employees, over $900 million in assets, and is headquartered in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Sean is responsible for providing leadership in establishing and implementing strategic human resource strategies. Sean's primary focus is on employee and member engagement. Consumers is proud of its 98% member satisfaction rate, its over 11 years of recognition as one of West Michigan's 101 best and brightest companies, and 4 years of being recognized nationally as a 101 best and brightest company. In addition, Consumers has been honored as a 101 Best and Brightest in Wellness Employer in Michigan and a Healthiest 100 Employer nationally. Sean holds a bachelor's degree in business management from Northwood University and an MBA with a focus in global business studies from Cornerstone University. Sean also holds an SPHR, SHRM SCP, and Certified Corporate Wellness Specialist, or CCWS, certifications. A wife of 24 years and a mother of 3, Sean is also an avid runner and a yogi. In 2016, she was honored as Michigan's top HR professional by the Michigan Council of SHRM. She also serves on the Executive Council for Michigan Chapter of Society of Human Resource Management, or SHRM, the board of Southwest Michigan First, the board of Senior Services of Southwest Michigan, where she chairs the Human Resource Executive Committee. In addition to the organizations listed above, Sean also founded and chairs the Kalamazoo Area Wellness Networking Group, which includes 20 organizations who come together to share wellness best practices. Sean, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I almost pronounced all of your certifications correctly, so we have all of that established. And those that might have been listening to that bio and might be thinking, wait a minute, what did I tune into? This sounds heavy on the HR side. This is a branding podcast. What possibly have we gotten ourselves into this week? And what I'm excited about is Sean comes very highly recommended from our guest of a few weeks back, Melanie Spring, when we were talking on that episode about employee engagement and how your people are a part of your brand. And obviously with employee and member engagement being a big part of your job, Sean, how do you think that we get from people to brand? Because that's not always logical to some.
Absolutely. You know, branding, in my perspective, happens in every interaction that we have with our employees. So we talk about, at Consumers, the employee experience and how the experience that we create for them here as employees then relates to how they become our brand ambassadors. So if we say we're going to offer top-notch member service and you're going to come in and be wowed every time you interact with Consumers, it's equally as important that the employee experiences that same level of interaction with anything they do with our organization as well. So our brand really starts with employee engagement.
Well, and you know, that makes me think of that Venn diagram that I've seen. That's an easy one, but I think that this is hard for some people to grasp, and I'm not exactly sure why, but that Venn diagram of happy employees and happy customers, and I think all of that, the bigger circle around all of that is the brand itself. But I think sometimes we're a little bit afraid of our people. We like to nod along with employee engagement, but actually delivering on that is scary to some.
Sure. You know, it's funny because we try to really think about employees as having two buckets when they come to work. You know, the bucket that fills with the good things that happen and the bucket that fills with the things that aren't so great. And our goal as an organization is to fill that bucket of good things so it far outweighs the bucket of things that aren't so great, because they're going to have interactions at work that, you know, aren't the best. They're going to have an experience maybe even with a member that, you know, falls into that, you know, bad bucket per se. So our goal is to make sure that those interactions that we have, everything they touch, everything they do, right down to the locations they work in, the look and feel of our branches, our corporate office, all of those things, we want that to feed into their positive bucket so they feel great every single day when they come to work. When that happens, they're so much more excited to serve our member and do the best thing for that member to create an equally great experience for those coming in to use our services.
You know, I think that your additional interest in wellness and being a yogi is manifesting itself in that kind of take of acceptance on that, because I feel like maybe one of the disconnects is you came right out of the gate saying, look, there's going to be bad employee experiences, bad customer experiences, and we hope there's more good, and we work to promote that. I think that might be some of the fear, too, is that we expect that we're going to go through with some kind of eraser and get rid of any friction that might be there. And obviously, we don't want that, but it is something that's, I think, part of the equation if you're really gonna take on employee engagement, right?
Absolutely. You can't ignore it, right? You know it's there. Gosh, as much as I love my job, even I have a bad day. And that bad day can stem from any number of things. Maybe it's not even work-related, but it feels work-related once I get here. So you just address those things in the moment and try to help the employee get to a place where they can have that great day. So we have a really big focus here on wellness, of course, and that really helps us relate to employee engagement, because if you are having that bad day, we have lots of ways for you to release that stress and tension. But it's also about creating a family environment. So when the, you know, employee's struggling, they've got a network of individuals here to support them and really help them turn that experience around. So whether it's a negative member interaction or maybe you're just not getting along with the person next to you that day, you know, it's really about having that network. And another thing that's really important to us here is that we don't have negative water cooler talk. So we live and breathe by that. So our philosophy here is, if you don't want to work here anymore, if you've decided you want to leave the organization, then go ahead and talk about someone as if they're not in the room. And we live and breathe by that. So the idea is, if I am struggling with that person next to me, I'm just going to simply have a conversation with them to talk about it rather than have that water cool negative talk about somebody else in the organization. And that really helps promote that positive culture. Then that also relates to brand. Because when our members come in, we have that same philosophy. We wouldn't talk negatively about a member once they leave the room. That's just not the way we operate here, and it relates into a very positive environment.
Well, now that's interesting, because I think just like we expect kind of maybe perfection or these frictionless internal, external interactions, you know, talking about that negative – the version of negative water cooler talk in dealing with a customer or member. It's interesting because that almost seems like that is a newer way of, and maybe even a healthier way of approaching some of these frustrations that, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining about this, but the customer is always right. And I think that that's probably, you know, it's ultimately true. But I think sometimes being black and white about that can create frustration under the surface, too. Whereas if you have a more transparent relationship, I don't know. It's interesting. Is that what you mean when you talk about bringing that same sort of openness to those member interactions?
Sure. You know, you're going to have an interaction with a member that's not going to go well. And a lot of times that member isn't right. Now, do we try to smooth that over and make that as positive as we can for the member? Absolutely. That's super important here. But when that member walks away, it's okay to talk to your coworker about, gosh, how could I have handled that differently? Is there something I could have done? Or, wow, that was I was on the struggle bus with that member, you know, and that's okay to talk about. But you wouldn't want to go, yeah, that member really stinks. You know, I hope they don't come back in here and have that conversation, because then you're not focused on how to improve the situation with the member. Then you're just focused on complaining about the member. And it's a very different conversation.
Yeah, well, and it is. And it seems like by bringing that to the surface, you're going to probably build a stronger relationship as a result, even if it's a little shaky there in the interim.
Absolutely. You know, you don't get to 98% member satisfaction if you're not focused on creating as many positive interactions as you can. And our belief here is that you create those positive interactions by constantly focusing on how you can improve every time that member's in front of you. And so we really take a lot of self-reflection here to say, how can we serve our member better? And to be perfectly honest, if we have a member that doesn't fit us and doesn't fit our culture and doesn't want to live and breathe by that as well, then we're okay walking away from that member as well. Because like you said, the member is typically right in many aspects, but if they're going to mistreat our employees, right, or, you know, act that way, then we're okay walking away from that situation.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, it almost seems like the both externally with members, internally with employees, the no negative water cooler talk, it really kind of the stakes in that are kind of what you just said, that at the end of the day, everybody's kind of willing to walk away if need be too.
Absolutely.
So I would imagine that you don't get from zero to employee engagement just overnight. You don't. That's not a switch that is in your office that is up to you to just throw, and then you can kick back and everything's easy. So, how does that come to be?
Sure. You know, I've been with the organization for 7 years, and I hired in as the first HR executive that they'd had. You know, they weren't really big enough to support one prior to that. And we're an organization, of course, that's grown over 18% year over year for the past 34 years. So if you can imagine, when our CEO started 34 years ago, we had 4 employees, and now we have 300. And so that's pretty fast growth, and we've more than doubled in employee size just in my tenure here. So when you grow at that rate, you constantly have to focus on how you continue to build engagement. And I'm super proud to say that even with this exponential growth that we've had in the 7 years that I've been here, our employee engagement number was just under a 4 out of 5. In 2011, and last year we reached record-breaking employee engagement of a 4.52 out of 5. At the same time, we've also increased that member engagement level incrementally each year as well. So, but that takes constant work, and you can never be complacent because the needs of employees change, the organization changes. We've just moved into a new corporate office, so now our workspace has changed, and you have all of these things going on that you can never you can never let go. You've always got to strive to be better, do better, and increase that employee experience level.
Well, one thing I love about what you just referenced, and as stated in your bio too, I think that sometimes branding itself gets categorized as squishy, and I am keenly aware of that. I also think things like engagement, it's easy for that to sound maybe a little hippy-dippy to some, but you have some measurement on that. I mean, there's some metrics in place to really ground what you're setting out to do and how effectively you're accomplishing that. So is that a scorecard that you're looking at regularly? How has that measurement evolved? Yeah.
So we measure in a couple of different ways. One is we do our annual employee engagement survey, which gives us a lot of great metrics because it breaks our organization down into many categories, from workspace to training to the support they get from our IT department, really any aspect of their employment here, their compensation, their benefits. So all of those things, and we're measuring them on a scale. And that allows us to take those categories and break them down following the survey to determine where we can make incremental improvements. So a great example of that is 3 years ago, we learned we just weren't doing a great job with performance management. Employees didn't feel like they were getting enough feedback. And the score was still 4.2 out of 5. So let me just premise it there that it wasn't a bad score, but for us, it was our lowest in that category. We totally revamped our employee review system, threw it out the window, actually. We don't do annual reviews anymore. We do a 3 times per year, what we call performance GPS, navigating your career here. And that score went to 4.64 out of 5. So it's really taking those incremental things that we can do to make the employee experience better. The other thing we do is we benchmark with national and regional best and brightest surveys, because then they survey our employees at a different time frame, and we don't see the results necessarily in the same way, but they aggregate them for us, and we benchmark against not only credit union competitors, but anyone in our region or the nation. So that's a great way for us to tell where we're moving the needle and where we need to make improvements as well.
Well, I think all of this work is so incredibly valuable, but it's really, I would say, probably proven to be so with the measurement that you have on it and being able to point to that and track against that, as you said, in terms of moving forward and see, you know, where there's gaps we need to close, areas that we have under control, and how, you know, where an organization wants to go from here.
Yeah, it would be super easy when you get a score like 4.52 out of 5. I think It would be really easy to rest on our laurels, right? But we don't. We take that survey, we break it down, and we just find the lowest areas, and we work to make them better. And I think that's how we've been able to incrementally improve engagement levels year over year. If we get complacent, that will stop. And then our employees will get complacent with the members as well. They know we're working so hard to keep them happy here, so then they're working in turn to keep our member happy here as well.
This sounds like kind of an introductory humble brag here, but excellence is tricky. And I say that because of what you said with your scores. And I think the risk is for any organization when you excel at something is to think, okay, we're done now. Now we move away from it. But, you know, I was just in a parent conference about a learning strategy, and someone was proposing to end the remediation, and one of the instructors said, "Why would you end something that's working?" So it's tricky to not have that kind of checklist mindset of that's done, next.
Right. You know, sports teams are the same way, right? So I'm a huge Michigan State basketball fan. It would be super easy for them to, you know, say, hey, we're cruising in, Big Ten champs, right? But they never stop working at getting better and better and better. And we think here, it's the same thing. We're constantly coaching ourselves as an executive team, coaching our teams to just how can we always be better? And that's really what our brand is all about, right? If we're going to have this brand of saying, hey, we're going to drive our mission, we're going to live our values, we have got to live and breathe that behind the scenes so we can deliver that brand to everyone that sees us.
Absolutely. So in thinking about this, if someone is wanting to do more with employee engagement, maybe they are an organization not unlike like Consumers was when you first arrived there, just getting big enough for some of this, just starting to think about this, where do you jump in and start with a task this big and all-encompassing?
You know, I think it boils down to listening to employees, and it boils down to three questions. And we ask our employees these three questions each and every year. So these happen in one-on-one interviews with my team. And we say, ask them the question of, hey, what makes you excited to jump out of bed and come to work every day? And as an alternate, what would make you hit the snooze button, right? Why, you know, what's going on at work that sometimes makes you want to hit that snooze button and not get out of bed? And then the third question is really, you know, what would keep you engaged here for the rest of your career? You know, what one or two things could we do to keep you engaged here for the rest of your career? I think any organization can start with those three questions and then begin to work on doing those things better, whatever the answers are.
You know, and what's great about those questions is that this isn't a great big complex algorithm in a Scantron form. You could type these up in a Word document after you listen to this podcast and distribute those internally and at least have something to start to act on.
Yes, absolutely. But what I will say is if you ask the questions, be ready to take action on what the feedback is. The worst thing you can do as an organization is ask employees and then do nothing, because then they feel like, wow, you didn't even listen to me. So one thing I will say to any organization out there that wants to focus on engagement is you have to be ready to act on what your employees say they desire. Maybe you can't do all of it, but you need to at least address, right, the whys and the hows of what you can do.
So a follow-up question to the one thing that you do, and the three questions are great, but that point makes me think of be ready to act, because I think there's many out there in various corporate settings guilty of collecting information that we do nothing with. So if to be ready to act, what's a good good, I don't want to say plan to have in place, because you don't know until you get back your responses, but is it a small special team of cross-functional folks ready to look at the results and make recommendations? Is it something else?
That is actually the best way to do it. Before I started here, they used to have what they called a best and brightest committee. And this committee would take the feedback and come up with suggestions. Now we do it in a different way because we're so large, there's no way we could encompass, you know, a committee that would get, you know, everybody's feedback. But when we were smaller, that was the best way to do it, because this group would then take those challenges and come back with suggestions for the executive team. Well, now I sit on the executive team, so it's a little bit easier. But, you know, before there was an HR presence on the executive team, that was the best way to get those that feedback across. And they were doing a really good job before I came on board. Again, I walked into a great organization, so I've been very blessed from that perspective.
Well, this is great. These are all good dots that people can start to connect and start to think of to move the needle on employee engagement. As we start to wrap up here, Sean, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Yeah, you know, I loved this question because recently it's Procter & Gamble, which is kind of an odd one, but their campaigns on the moms and the Olympics. I am the least emotional person I know. So I tend to, you know, look at things from a very, you know, well-balanced perspective, and I don't get overly emotional. But man, I watch these ads with the moms in the Olympics, and as a mother of three kids, they make me well up. And I, you know, not that that's a smile, but it makes me smile that a brand could push me emotionally, which is pretty impressive, actually.
They tugged at the heartstrings, old P&G did with that one. Well, that, I think, is a great smile, a classic smile. Sean, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So I'm out on LinkedIn under Sean Premer, and I'm the only one out there. So feel free to connect with me that way. Also on Twitter, S Premer, HR Pro. So pretty easy there. Also, you can learn more about what we do at Consumers at www.consumerscu.org.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Sean, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. Recently, Sean Carpenter gave us a shout for our episode featuring branding guru and author of the 21 Immutable Laws of Branding, Laura Reese. Sean, thanks for listening. Not the Sean that's on this podcast. Different Sean. I'm going to create some inadvertent Sean confusion there. And a reminder, if you like something that you heard on this episode or another, if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. Thanks again to our sponsor, 2020, your source for on-brand photography for your brand. Get 5 photos with 2020's 1-week free trial at 2020.com/onbrand. That's the word 20, then the number 20.com/onbrand. On Brand is a production of Brand Driven Digital, helping organizations simplify their branding and marketing to unlock growth. More, including the links we discussed on this episode, at branddrivendigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, if you would like to engage with this show a little bit more, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard. And I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.